Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. In 2005, I wanted my life to be over, but I knew that I couldn't take my life. Today, I need to mark something sacred. It is 2025, and I am officially 20 years into a soul contract that I began when I asked God to take my life. And instead, I was sent back with a mission, a vision, and a voice. We are living in a simulation. Consciousness is fundamental. Who you really are is consciousness. You can call that your authentic self, soul, Atman, Brahman. You are divine consciousness, incarnated in that avatar. Your whole purpose in this life is to grow up, to learn who you really are, to love who you really are, and to live who you are with love and compassion. So getting rid of your fear, those limiting beliefs, expanding your view on what's possible, that's what all of my work is about. From the TED Talks, to the retreats, to the workshops and the books, to the songs, the mantras, the perfumes, the rituals. I'm talking about the near-death experience that I had in 2005 that came after a peak experience of singing in Saint-Tropez in the south of France. I'll get into all of that, or maybe you've already seen it in the TED Talk, but I need to say this. Having an ego-death awakening, an out-of-body experience that did not involve any psychedelics might sound weird, but for me, I've actually had these paranormal things since childhood, from precognitive dreams to some sort of clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, like all of these weird terms that I've only learned in the last 20 years. And I have to say that because I've always felt like I had a connection to the spirit world. And that may be because I was incredibly depressed as a child. I endured a shit ton of abuse and emotional neglect. And it's very common for people with a trauma history to check out or to feel like they belong somewhere else. And I definitely felt this connection with something greater, a space, an energy, God. I just considered it the spirit realm. I felt like before we are born, we come from a spirit realm. Like that's just what came for me. I think it's also important to say that, yes, in 2005, I wanted my life to be over, but I knew that I couldn't take my life. And that's because of yet another soul contract that I made at the tender age of 15. Growing up with a lot of toxicity and family dysfunction, and then a divorce in my parents left me really fractured. And I never felt like I fully belonged. There were all sorts of a sense of rejection and not enoughness from my earliest days on the planet. And I remember in high school, I had this idea that I could end it all. I remember very clearly laying on my bedroom floor. I was looking at these loops of carpet and just my mind started tabulating all the friends I knew whose parents had prescription drugs and all the ways that I could get a supply large enough to end my life. As I'm laying there formulating my exit strategy, I heard a voice. And this voice said, "Hey, you're pretty awake. If you take your life, you might come back at some lower level. So hold on. You're gonna get through this. It's gonna get better. Now, I had never heard of reincarnation. I didn't know any Buddhists or Hindus, but something about the way this voice spoke felt so true. And it wasn't scary. It was just this deep sense of knowing. And so I agreed. I agreed to not take my life. That was at the age of 15. And now fast forward to the age of 35, I had everything. TV shows, fame, million-dollar business. But after one night on stage in Saint-Tropez, I wanted to die. And not because I was broken. It was because for one night, I felt free. So even though I agreed at age 15 not to take my life, it's not like my depression ended. I lived with depression and anxiety for years. And so at that moment, back in my hotel in Cannes, after performing, that joy that I felt really turned sour. I realized that in 2 days, I'd go back to the lie, the mask, the media, the grind. I had built this entire business, the wellness center, my on-TV brand, the books, being on Oprah. All of that was built in response and in reaction to what people were feeding into me. And so I had this trauma narrative in the background that I wasn't good enough, I needed to prove myself, I needed to fit into other people's boxes and molds in order to be safe. And I got to this high level of success, and I realized in order to keep that success going, I needed to stay in those roles and molds. And it was killing me. On a soul level, I was feeling this disconnect between what I was portraying on television and on stage, what I was living in my wellness center, which was very real, and then what I was going home with in my body. So I have this peak experience in the south of France, singing. I get back to my hotel in Cannes and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Like, who I was there, what I felt there in Saint-Tropez felt more real, more loving, more alive than anything. And I just collapsed onto the bed, sobbing, because I didn't want to go back into that prison of a life that I had with this whole media and all the expectations. And so I cried out to God. I said, take it. Take my body, my mind, my business. I don't know what I'm doing with it. And then there was stillness. I melted into the bed. And then light from inside my skull, this blinding white light, started to draw me up. I left my body, I was pulled into this tunnel of light, and there were no more tears. It was just peace. And I thought, oh, God is finally answering my prayer by taking me. So I get through this tunnel, I get to the other side, and all I could see was darkness. It was like this black void that was starting to expand from me at this one point of consciousness. This darkness just spread and spread and spread and spread. And I could see that once this darkness got to over there, whatever that means, I knew that I would no longer be. And as I'm thinking that, I said, well, if I will no longer be, then who am I? And that's when I realized I am the consciousness. I am still conscious. Even though I left my body, I was conscious. And as I'm asking, like, okay, if I will no longer be, then who am I? And I heard, I am that I am. And then I heard, I am whoever I say I am. But kind of like Eminem. So I was like, oh, okay, you got jokes up in here. All right. But the peace, I felt this sense of oneness, this sense of just love, but not like love for me, but just love. Like all there was love and oneness. And then there was this presence next to me, and I quickly saw a life review. I saw from my birth till that moment in 2005 why I was depressed. Every choice I made led to my suffering. And with this presence next to me, I was like, oh, you mean I could choose? And that's when I said, well, if I could choose, I would choose differently. And that's when I saw this vision. I was living in France, singing, healing with my hands, holding a child's hand, walking by the sea. And I was like, okay, God, you're gonna make me one of those woo-woo healers? And yet, I said yes. I said yes to all of it because it looked way better than the life that I was living. As soon as I said yes, I saw this big ball of glowing energy, like the sun. And I saw that these little droplets of that light were kind of dropping down to the earth. And I understood that we are those little droplets of light. We are little offshoots of consciousness. And when we incarnate into this human avatar, it's up to us to decide who we will be. Not our religion, not our family, not the media. It's up to us. And so with this presence next to me, I was like, okay, I get it. I get to choose. I was shown this vision and I was like, that looks good. And so as soon as I said yes, I came back into my body, right there in Cannes. Back in my body, the depression was gone. And for me, depression had always felt like this dark, heavy cloak just shrouded around me. And it was gone. There was this clarity, this lightness. And I came back into my body with one truth. We are not who they told us to be. We are who we choose to become. So after that ego death awakening, near-death experience, I started researching consciousness, interviewing people, because I had never heard of anyone having a near-death experience without being near death, either in an accident, under anesthesia, flatlined, in a coma, or of course, with drugs. So I started researching consciousness and interviewing people. I found out that a lot of people have had these spontaneous out-of-body experiences, some with training, with meditation, with breath work, with drumming, with trance dance, with sacred ceremonies, with plant medicine, yes, with psychedelics. And I decided to like collect what I was learning to create a documentary so that I could make sense of what happened to me, but also to help other people. And so I have been researching consciousness, mapping the paranormal, weaving it into story, sound, and image. And not for the grind anymore, not for the hustle, and not even for some brand, but simply because it brings me joy. And because this is the work that I feel wants to come through me, you know, in that vision that I had in this out-of-body experience, I saw everything so clearly that I knew I would never be the same. And so I want to share some of the takeaways from that near-death experience and what has transpired over the last 20 years to lead me to be where I am now. Yes, I live in the south of France. Yes, I have that child. Yes, I do a sort of healing with my hands and I'm singing professionally. And I'm also working with people to help them have their own conscious evolution journey with or without sacred plant medicine. Because what I understand now is that we live in a virtual reality. It's like your own arcade game. You drop in a quarter, or in this case, you drop in your consciousness, and you take on the life of this avatar, and you're playing through this game of life. And all of these situations and encounters are for you to level up. And leveling up means you're improving the level of your consciousness. You're learning to live as love. You're learning to live with more compassion, with less fear, and most importantly, more authenticity for who you really are, or who you want to be, or who you aspire to be. And that was what was key for me, because the burnout, the depression, the collapse, the wanting my life to be over, all of that was based on choices that were based on trauma imprints, that were based on reactions and not coming from my soul. And so to live an authentic life means we live in alignment with our own authentic self, or your soul's true calling. And your true calling for all of us, your true calling is to level up. It's to grow up. It's to awaken to who you truly are. It's to embody this higher level of consciousness. That may sound very esoteric and weird and woo, but it's actually quite simple when you understand the model that everything is consciousness. Everything is this expression of the mind, the one mind, consciousness. And we are that. Even though it sounds like we're speaking from a dualistic perspective, really, it's all oneness. That's what this near-death experience showed me. It's all oneness. This virtual reality we're living in, part of the game when we incarnate in this avatar is we lose that memory of who we really are, of our past lives. We might even lose the memory of the soul contract we made when we decided to come into the body. That's just part of the game. It's part of remembering or waking up to who you really are and finding what is this soul path, what is this destiny that I'm meant to live out. So that's what happened in Cannes, in this near-death experience. The following day, I flew to Barcelona because that's where my flight back to DC was. And I was like, okay, in this future vision, I'm singing professionally. So when I got to Barcelona, I was like, okay, I've got one last night. As I'm waiting in line at the hotel to check in, I see this sign with kind of things going on in the city. And there was a jam session. And I'm like, I'm a musician. And when we see jam session, that usually means maybe you rock up with your own instrument or you get on the mic. And I was like, I'm going. So I go and I get to this like little hole in the wall basement club. And I'm seeing these people getting on stage and they're doing kind of jazzy stuff. And I was like, okay, this looks like my kind of vibe. So I put my name on the list to sing My Funny Valentine. I get myself a little glass of water and I sit down. And as I'm sitting there waiting my turn, I'm looking at the people, I'm feeling confident. All of a sudden to my left, I see like this energy shift. And I look and in walks this woman and a guy with his guitar on his back, and people start giving him high fives and hugs, and it's like this light just moves through the club. And I'm watching them because it was like quite a phenomenon. And then all of a sudden, the guy on stage says, all right, we have a special treat. Joining us tonight is Marichelle. And so the woman who walked in and Gary Granger with his bass guitar, they get up on stage and they shifted what was an open mic into a full-on concert. Like the level of the professionalism and the groove shifted instantly. So she's singing, he's playing, someone jumps up and they're rapping in Spanish. The crowd goes wild. I'm like, whoa. She sings some Jill Scott. Then she morphs into a version of My Funny Valentine. And y'all, oh my God. I was like, what the? I literally started shrinking in my chair. And I literally said, okay, God, I see why you brought me here tonight. You wanted me to see how it's really done. Okay, noted. And now I'm like, let me get the F out of here before they call me up, because I have the same song. I'm not going to go do that song. So she gets off stage. The crowd goes wild. I see them by the bar, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting out of here before they call my name. As I walk over, I'm like, I just got to give you your propers. That was amazing. And they're like, thank you. So humble, so sweet. And they're like, where are you from? I'm like, oh, you know, I'm from DC. And they're like, shut up, we're from DC. And I'm like, what? And then they're like, well, actually, you know, she's from Baltimore and I'm from, and I was like, well, actually, I'm from Silver Spring. And they were like, oh, Silver Spring, come and have a drink with us. And I'm like, okay. So I sit down, we get drinks, we're talking and vibing, finding out that when she has a whole project called the Marichelle Project, and I'm like, amazing. And then they call her back on stage. And she's like, you should come back me up. And I'm like, but I was like, I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. I got up on stage and I'm backing my girl up. I'm singing background and it was amazing. And they're like, come back with us. So we went back to Marichelle's family home in Barcelona, stayed up all night talking, found out that we were in Europe at the same time for a very similar reason. Gary had been playing on the cruise that I was supposed to be on. That was the whole reason I was supposed to be in Europe, but because my assistant didn't send in my information, I wasn't confirmed on the cruise. But since I had a ticket to Spain, I was like, I'm just gonna go anyway. So finding out that we both knew Dr. Tedford, that Gary and I were supposed to be on that cruise, Marichelle had been on those cruises and sang before, it was like, this is wild. What are the chances, right? And so we're hanging out and then we're like, okay, we gotta get together when we get back to DC. And Chell was like, oh, don't be one of those people that says that and then doesn't do it. And so we made a pinky swear to meet up again. And we did. We got together in DC. We sang together. We ended up recording together one of my songs called I Love You, Me, which really came from that near-death experience where I finally felt love for myself. Being able to perform with Marichelle and record with her was like a dream come true. It really helped me up my game and improve as a vocalist. But I'll be honest, there were times where it was like, I didn't want to even put myself out there as a singer because I'm like, dude, I'm not as good as her, you know, comparisonitis. And because I had this wellness center and all these people depending on me, it took some time to like uncouple myself from that. And the biggest turning point was when I became pregnant. Just months after seeing this vision of me walking hand in hand with a child, I became pregnant with my daughter. And I knew I didn't want to do what my mom did. My mom had me when she was in medical school, and when she was doing her residency and her first years as a doctor, she was always gone. And by that time, she was a single mom. I didn't want to do that. I did become single while I was still pregnant, and I decided that, okay, I need to be fully present for this child. So it gave me the opportunity to step away from the wellness center, close things down, sold off what I could. I still did a little bit of TV, but not so many hours. I ended up doing a documentary series about me transitioning into this holistic, integrative mother. I'd already been the integrative physician, but now as a mom, that docuseries ended up on Lime TV. So yes, my daughter was born on television, and Lime TV got sold to Gaia, which has now become Gaia. And so my pregnancy docuseries was sold in stores as a DVD. It's still online. And it really marked the transition of me fully embracing who I am as a very woo-woo person. During the recording of that docuseries, I met with this woman, Angela, who does past life regressions. I was like, can we somehow connect with the soul of this baby I'm carrying? Because I felt like it was amazing how I met her father and conceived and all of that. And so on that docuseries, Angela leads me in a guided practice to connect with the soul of my daughter. And it made so much sense to me and why things unfolded in the way that they did. That near-death experience taught me that everything is oneness. Studying consciousness led me to understand that we live in a conscious universe. It's all consciousness, it's all information, and we can access different data streams. So what I was shown in that NDE was a potential future, right? We always have these potential or more probable futures. And my seeing that one helped collapse down all those possibilities into the timeline I chose to live into. And recognizing that, I started to understand all of these experiences I've had with manifesting, with being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, getting the right results, was because I was sensitive to different frequencies or energies. I would get nudges, I would get a certain vibe, and my intuitive abilities, which had always been there, got supercharged after the NDE and definitely after having my daughter. What I recognized is that if we want to harness the power of our intuition to start choosing which timeline we want to live without having to have a near-death experience, it's about improving our vessel, our ability to clear the mind of clutter, to reduce all of the chaos, and to really tune into love and compassion, because it's a pure frequency. Like, I had that near-death experience because I was in utter despair. But I've learned that we can also access higher states of consciousness and different data streams through better quality energy, as in love. I mean, have you ever been feeling really good? Things are going your way. Maybe it's because you're in love or because you just got something you wanted or you're rocking it. And then suddenly you start to tune into other possibilities. Things start to flow. Well, that's what I learned in all of this study, is that when we consciously tune into a higher frequency of love, compassion, joy, awe, wonder, we get access to different data. So rather than always being driven by this scarcity, survival, hypervigilance, which was programmed into my nervous system, I was starting to pick up on this higher frequency, higher vibration of love and compassion and empathy. And I just wanted to pay that forward. And I didn't start telling people about this near-death experience right away because I was still on TV. I was still recognized as a former medical director for Discovery Health Channel, blah, blah, blah. It took time before I was like open to sharing that I had had this out-of-body experience and saw a potential future. But now, 20 years later, everybody's talking about paranormal. And, you know, one of the people I really admire, Tom Campbell, finding his work years ago really helped me. Tom Campbell is this physicist that wrote the book, My Big Toe, My Big Theory of Everything. And because I had always felt like I was living in a video game, reading his work and understanding that, yeah, we do live in this 3D virtual reality, and this physical matter universe is actually just a subset of this larger consciousness system. Finding Tom Campbell's work and My Big Toe helped me because I didn't feel like a freak anymore. It was like, okay, I've had these paranormal experiences, but it's not because I'm a weirdo or I'm defective. And being able to access other realms or data streams isn't fringe, it's actually normal. We all have this ability. And that helped me because for a long time I had shut it off, I had turned it off, I turned it down. But with my work, I started encountering so many people who've had these experiences, and they too needed either just a sense of validation that they're not losing their mind, and skills on how to hone that. Because it can also be very overwhelming when you're getting in data from other places, other realms, other people across the earth. Like, I connected with people in California without knowing how that happened in very real and tangible ways. I had a distance healing experience with someone here in Europe that rocked my world in 2011. And so little by little, from learning about Bob Monroe's work at the Monroe Institute, getting some of his tapes, back in the day, they were tapes and CDs, and listening to these binaural beats to get in this expanded state of consciousness, that all has been part of this process of getting to accept myself as me, an offshoot of divine consciousness, having a life experience in this human avatar. So I listened to Bob Monroe's tapes and CDs, the binaural beats that really helped me recreate this experience of oneness and leaving my body without being in a crisis. I heard Tom talking about his experience at the Monroe Institute, before it was the Monroe Institute, like for years doing these experiments with Bob. And Bob was talking about how he would get information from these guides. And later Bob realized he was actually getting information from himself, maybe a future self. And that's what I came to understand about that voice that spoke to me at the age of 15. It was me. A couple of years ago, I was in retreat and had this experience of hearing about someone else sharing how her future self communicated to her about a healing challenge with cancer. And I was listening and I was so moved. And then all of a sudden it hit me. Wait a minute. I've heard a voice that saved me from suicide. And as I sat in meditation, I was like, wow. If it's true that we can send a message to our past self, I'm gonna send a message. And then I realized, wait a minute, I've been receiving messages that I thought maybe were from an angel or from God. And I'm realizing, oh my, they've been from me, from this unit of consciousness. So there's absolutely so much to share in the 20 years since that NDE, and the 54 years that I've been on the planet. I'm going to be sharing more of this. I don't know how that's all going to look, but finishing up this film, telling my story and how all of these experiences, including meeting my husband in a sacred ceremony before meeting him in the physical, and then getting married, starting our new company, like, so many things have happened that are just phenomenal. And it's not that I had this near-death experience and then everything was linear and perfect and straight. I had a lot of unlearning and reprogramming to do. Just because I had seen the light and seen a truth for me with a capital T, I still came back into an avatar that had programs running and had responsibilities. And so the path was somewhat windy. 5 years after that near-death experience, I was back in the south of France and I was like, this is my home, I know it. And that was reflected in a very dear friend of mine. Shout out to Georgia Gosley, thank you so much. You made it so clear that that was my moment to move in 2010. Yeah, God, there's just so much. I can't even. I mean, like, there's this part of me that wants to, like, tell you every little thing and not leave anything out, which I know is probably impossible. That would, it's literally more than a book, more than a single film. But I guess the biggest takeaway is this. We are living in a simulation. Consciousness is fundamental. Who you really are is consciousness. You can call that your authentic self, soul, Atman, Brahman. You are divine consciousness incarnated in that avatar. And your whole purpose in this life is to grow up, to learn who you really are, to love who you really are, and to live who you are with love and compassion. So getting rid of your fear, those limiting beliefs, expanding your view on what's possible, that's what all of my work is about. From the TED Talks, to the retreats, to the workshops and the books, to the songs, the mantras, the perfumes, the rituals. So that's what I want to help you tap into. Each of us is going to have our own version of it. The step you take now may not be your final step. The steps I took in 2010 to move to France and then build a life here, I'm not doing all of those things anymore, because they were stepping stones to get me to where I am today. I'm truly living the highest expression of my soul's calling. And guess what? That'll probably grow and evolve in the next year, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. My deepest prayer is that this film is going to help more people see possibilities for recovering from burnout, breakdowns, suicide, abuse, serious diagnoses, to believe that there is a better life and a future possible for you. Because knowing that we live in a virtual reality and everything is consciousness, there are multiple potential futures for you, some more probable than others. If you've been on a track for a long time, it may seem like you only have one probable future. But I'm here to tell you that you can change the probability of what your future looks like based on your intent, your intention, based on the quality of your consciousness, which you can improve, you can level up. And that's what I want to help more people do. So stick around, friends. It's just getting good.
Innate Vitality Code Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. Rate the podcast and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.